It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this fine Saturday afternoon to be the managing partner of your life. And here with me, of course, is the lovely Carrie Kasem.
Yeah, that's me. Thanks, Alan.
You are looking really good. Did you think we were filming this?
Should we just let everybody in on it?
I don't care.
Well, interesting. You know, got a call from 48 Hours, and they said, hey, can we come down and talk to you about, you know, what went on with your dad? I said, sure. So I just happened to drag the man that came here from 48 Hours, and I won't I won't put him on air. I was going to.
Why not?
Well, he doesn't want – he's shaking his head, and he's sweating. He's
Where's
behind the
camera
scenes.
Crew?
Behind the scenes.
I wore this really great T-shirt for 48 Hours. What does it say on my shirt?
You know, you always make me read something I can't see. Hold on.
How can
I'm
you
standing
not
up.
See?
I'm
Don't
standing
stand up.
Up.
You're going to lose the mic.
American Idiot.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm wearing, the Green Day shirt, American Idiot. And it doesn't necessarily imply anything about anyone.
No one. Nobody.
Although we've got a really great show today, and it's kind of interesting because, Carrie, I want to remind you, a couple of years ago, we went to a Super Bowl party together.
Yes, we did.
You remember where it was?
I do. Steve Michaels' house.
Steve Michaels. That's Al Michaels'
son.
Yeah. So is it all these like famous people who have kids that hang out together?
Kind of. You know, when you grow up in Los Angeles, your friends, it's really crazy. I had so many friends that had famous parents.
Yeah.
And you don't really care when you're a kid. And then when you get older, you go, oh, wow. I spent half my childhood at Tom Petty's house and, you know, there were the traveling Wilburys and here we are. And I thought they were just gross old men. And here I am going, I was in a room with Roy Orbison and George, you know, Harrison and Tom Petty. And
were they gross old men?
Oh, they were so gross. We just couldn't wait to get out. Like, really? Here, come and meet them. Did I care? Not at all. Do I care now? I'm like kicking myself.
All right. Well, you blew it. But, you know, you do hang out with people like Steve Michael, who in his own right is, you know, he's not Al Michael. It's not, do you believe in miracles? But,
That's probably one of the most famous calls ever made in sports.
Probably.
Yeah.
We could do a sports talk show, but you would be embarrassed by the lack of knowledge that you have when I start grilling you.
Honestly, if you ever did another show, you should do a sports show, Alan. You know more about sports than most
anyone.
Everyone.
I know more about sports than the talk show hosts that do sports shows.
You should
and
do one.
Unfortunately, I've got a law gig going right now. You know, I have a day job. This is just on Saturdays. But anyway, getting back to Steve Michaels' Super Bowl party.
Yes.
What happened at that Super Bowl party? You were somewhere and I was somewhere
and we
never saw each other.
No, we didn't because you were serious about the sports.
Very
along with
serious.
Marty Cove.
Right.
Sensei, sweep the leg.
Marty Cove.
Marty Cove. He's a guest of the show, friend of the show, and I feel like he's family.
Yeah, and I sat in the
What'd
theater.
You do? Yeah, there was
at
a
Steve's house.
There was a movie theater and a beautiful
right,
movie theater.
Watching the Super Bowl, every single play of the Super Bowl.
So I'll tell you where I was. I was in another room at a big table with about 10 people with my back turned to the TV because what was I doing? Playing poker.
You were playing poker.
I play poker at his house every year. We're going on about 8 years now. And I play poker. And,
it's
the same
so why card. Am I bringing that up today? It's real simple because today's show, the first half of the show, we're going to talk about the NFL and football, which is in my wheelhouse.
Yes.
And then the second half of the show, we're going to talk about poker,
that's right,
which is in your wheelhouse. And we're going to welcome to Gervie's Law Kelly Minkin. And Kelly Minkin is one of the greatest women poker players in the circuit, the WSOP. You know what WSOP stands for?
World
series of poker. And she's won over $1 million. But what's really interesting about Kelly is she is a lawyer.
Yes.
Is that crazy?
And she looks so young.
Well, she is. She's 31 years old.
Yeah, but she looks younger. You. Yeah, way younger than me, Ellen. Thank you. I'm okay with
that. She's so cool. I love the fact that she's got the sunglasses and the baseball hat backwards. And I wonder if she goes into court. She does medical malpractice. We're going to talk to her a little bit later about her poker career and her law career.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we need to talk about the NFL because the season is getting going. I'm getting excited. Everyone who listens to the show knows that I'm a huge, huge Minnesota Vikings fan. And I'm really excited about this year with Kirk Cousins and, they're favored at least to be in the top three or four. Got tickets for the Rams and the Vikings. It'll be coming up, in the fall. Excited to be here in LA with a great team like the Rams against the Vikings. It's going to be exciting, but we got to talk about the anthem policy. That the NFL tried to, prevail upon the players and the owners that the players, if they wanted to kneel, they were going to have to stay in the dressing room. They can't come out.
Good.
Well, we're going to find out. And then, the NFLPA, the Players Association, filed a grievance. And it brought to light some interesting issues, not only First Amendment issues, but, collective bargaining agreements, some other things that make things complicated versus private and public companies, other issues.
It's a business. It's a business. This isn't politics. They're not on Fox. They're not on CNN. I believe, and I am so happy that we live in this country where you have the right to stand up and say what you want. But when you're...
So then you should be in favor of the players kneeling.
This is a business. I'm watching NFL to watch football, not for a political stance on
things. Well, let's find out from the experts. And there are two experts today. And I say that with a little bit of a smile because I think Joselio Hansen, who's going to be on the show as well, I'm not sure if he sees himself as an expert. He's an expert football player. But on the legal issue, we have Howard Wasserman. And Howard Wasserman is a professor of law at Florida International University, FIU Law. And he's an expert in freedom of speech, constitutional law. He writes in the Prost blog and SCOTUS blog. He's written on this subject, and we're going to talk to Howard about it. And we're also having on the line Joselio Hansen, who's been a friend of the show. He's been on before. He was a cornerback in the NFL, played for the Philadelphia Eagles for a number of years, 5 years. He played for the 49ers, the Raiders, and he knows a lot of these guys and what's going through their minds who are protesting and how that's going to go down. So first of all, Howard, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Joselio, are you there too?
Hey, I'm here. How you doing?
Awesome.
I'm doing great, Joselio. How are you?
I can't complain.
Good. So we're going to talk to Howard first, then Joselio, you'll jump in and let us know from the player's perspective. Howard, we have this policy that the NFL tries to prevail upon the teams, and then we get this grievance. Tell us why this kind of blew up in the NFL's face.
So the NFL pushed the policy through in the spring without any input from the players or the Players Association. My guess is that their thinking was it was off-season, it was quiet, nobody was really paying any attention, and they pushed it through. And they tried to get it in under the league's power to determine the rules of the game as a game rule and therefore not have it be subject to collective bargaining, because if it's a rule of conduct, sort of an off-the-field rule, then it has to be collectively bargained. They were trying to get around that. The players filed a grievance to argue that, in fact, whatever they did had to be collectively bargained. And then what happened was, last week, the Miami Dolphins, pursuant to league processes, submitted a form to the league listing the league rules and the possible sanction, or I'm sorry, the team rules, the rules for the team that they were going to enforce during the year, and the possible sanctions for it. And that document leaked. One of the things that the Dolphins defined as conduct detrimental to the team was not standing at attention during the national anthem, and the sanction that it listed, the possible sanction it listed, was a 4-game suspension. That leaked. The story sort of blew up, and the NFL just took a step back and basically tried to hit the reset button on the whole thing because
right.
they
Howard,
were facing yet another PR disaster.
You haven't mentioned an important part here, the president's tweet. I mean, there's been an impact from the president, and you're saying that this was done kind of quietly. How is it quiet when President Trump tweets about it?
Well, but the issue had died out for a while. I mean, there were a very small handful of players who were still kneeling at the end of the 2017 season. Yeah, sure, the president has been all over this issue, but by the end of the year, it had sort of died out. There weren't a lot of players protesting, and people weren't really talking about it. And then they pushed the policy through. I think they thought when nobody was looking. Of course, the president then looked, and he had a tweet saying, you know, good for them on the policy. And then a couple of days after that, he said, basically, oh, by the way, staying in the locker room isn't good enough. Staying in the locker room is the equivalent of kneeling. And so if you stay in the locker room, it's just you're being just as disrespectful and so forth and so on.
Trump doesn't know when not to tweet. He just doesn't get it. I'm sorry, he doesn't. You know, I do have a problem with the players kneeling only because it's God bless America. It's not an anthem to God bless Donald Trump. It's about the United States of America. It's about what it took to become the United States of America and the proud men and women serving the country and people who are patriotic. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The song doesn't mention Donald Trump, and I have a problem with that. So they've made it about Donald Trump, and that's the thing that I have a massive problem with. I'm all for free speech, but not during an NFL game that's a business. That's my issue. But Donald Trump knew that he has a lot of power with his tweets, and I think that he, at this point, exacerbated things and made it worse.
You know, Joselio, you are in the trenches. You talk to these guys. You've lived with them. You've played with them. What Kerry says, I'm sure a lot of them don't agree with at all.
Yeah, maybe not. But in my opinion, I feel like it might be time for the players to move on from this. You know, they made their point. Their Kaepernick came out a couple years ago. He made his point, social injustice. It's just the simple fact that the NFL got together with the owners, and without the players' input, and made this rule out of nowhere. I mean, and then when you think about it, it's going to be tough on a player. Just think if you want to stay in the locker room. Just think what's going to happen when you walk out the locker room after the anthem.
Right.
Oh my gosh. You're going to get booed.
Yes.
To death.
I mean, don't
maybe.
You think, Joselio,
yes.
don't
yes.
you think that, you know, you only should be booed if you, you know, drop an interception or if you fumble?
Yeah.
It's like, why are you getting booed for your politics?
That's why you don't bring politics into sports. That's why you don't mix it.
Another thing is, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, well, kneeling might be the most respectful thing you could do. What do? When you go to church? You kneel and pray, right? Same thing. That's very respectful.
You'd have to change that all around then.
You know, we're going to have to talk to Professor Wasserman after the break and find out about the separation of church and state and football and religion. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Napa Know How. If you know how to pick something up and put it in a bucket, you know how to save 20%. This week only, buy a Napa bucket for $2.99, fill it to the top, and boom, you're a savings genius. So hurry in and save, because the Napa 20% off deal ends soon. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, exclusions apply. Minimum 3 items. Offer available July 23rd through July 31st.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Al Michaels again. I'm ready for football season.
Yeah.
The music gets to you, makes you excited. I know Joselio's probably excited about basketball season coming up with LeBron coming to L.A., but being a former football player, I'm sure you're still watching the NFL, even though you're a big basketball fan. We're talking to Howard Wasserman, who's professor of law at FIU Law School, and we're talking about the NFL kneeling controversy. Also on the line is Joselio Hansen, played 9 years in the NFL, is in touch with a lot of players, and said something very interesting, and I want to turn to you, Howard, about what Joselio said. He said, you know, the players made their point. It's time to move on, trying to focus on the game and not against the point they're making, but it's time to move on. Do you think, Professor Wasserman, that this issue has changed and maybe we're not talking about racial injustice anymore, but we're talking about free speech, and maybe that's why it won't go away?
No, it won't go away because, unfortunately, what started as a protest about racial injustice and the injustices that exist in society got converted into a message of disrespect, that they are disrespecting the flag, and the flag reflects the veterans and the military and all of these other things. So that message sort of got lost. Now, I don't know if the answer to that is to give up the ghost and move on, or if it's about finding a better way to make clear the message that they're trying to get across. And just to respond to one thing that Carrie mentioned earlier, this is a business, let's get politics out of it. Politics is already in it. And the reason politics is in it is because the NFL has been paid a large amount of money to patriotize and militarize football games. We have, the anthem is played, something that goes back to World War, you know, it's an idea that goes back to the middle of World War I. We have military flyovers.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Can I interject? When I came in 2003, it was funny, like, we didn't even come out to the anthem, to the national anthem, to 2009. So we were in the locker room listening to Tupac and chewing bubble gum. But now they, you know what I mean? But now they get paid. Now they're getting paid millions of dollars from the military or defense program to show patriotism. Now it's a big deal. But
who's benefiting from that, Howard?
The NFL. And I think the military hopes the military also benefits. So we can have a separate discussion about whether this is a proper role for patriotism in the military, and the military in sports. I happen to enjoy the national anthem before the game. But it creates an interesting situation because we are asking employees as part of their job to make a very public spectacle of patriotism and a very public spectacle of engaging in an expressive activity.
Standing
for the anthem is.
By playing the national anthem that I kind of get what you're saying with, you know, getting the military involved and the money and the funds and everything. But playing the national anthem is playing the national anthem. We see it at the Olympics. We see it everywhere.
And tonight I'm going to the Hollywood Bowl to watch Annie, and we're going to stand for the national anthem.
That's political. But it's not political.
It's not. It's pride in your nation. That's what it is. It doesn't matter. No, wait, look, it's no, because Democrats do it, Republicans do it, any party does it. It's about pride.
Partisan,
it's about your nation.
Partisan and political don't mean the same thing. It's not about a political party, but it is about politics and government and society and everything else that's built into that.
Everything represents
a society.
Do you agree with that? When you were with the players, let's get back to the NFL here. Do you believe that the players, your guys, were thinking this is political when you were in the dressing room or you were out and the national anthem was playing, or was it something, you know, when you put your hand over your heart on your shoulder pads? Is that
shoulder pads?
Well, that's what they do. is that a political statement, or is it pride? I mean, I understand what Howard's saying, but a lot of people wouldn't think of it that way.
I don't. But
you're saying back when we used to stay in the locker room, did we think?
Or any time. Or when you were out. Both. Like, were you thinking it as?
I can't even lie to you. I'm going to be straight honest with you. Like, I mean, the national anthem is 3 minutes. During that national anthem, it really relaxes you. I would rather stay in the locker room like I did back in my fifth year, because when I would come out the locker room, I knew it was time to knock somebody's heads off.
Yeah, but you didn't think politics.
Joselio makes a good point. He's thinking about the game. I mean, I've played sports my whole life, not at the level, but it's just, you know, it's for the people who are in the stands. And really, the players, it's just irrelevant. He's thinking of knocking Aaron Rodgers' head off.
I just don't think most people, and, you know, Howard, there are probably people who think political the minute they hear that. But I think most people aren't thinking that until you mention it or bring it up. I don't think
another thing about the fans, they don't stop serving nachos during the national anthem. I know that's a fact. So they need to stop serving concessions, and everybody needs to stand and put their hand over their heart if they feel that strongly about it.
Right.
Howard?
That's a fantastic point. I'm not sure I don't think I have anything to follow up on that.
Okay.
you're absolutely right.
Because you're eating your nachos.
Well, you know, do you think, Howard, does it make a difference if it's a private company versus public? You know, NFL, they make their rules. They do have the NFL, PA to deal with. But, you know, a lot of people say that if you do that in my office, for instance, if I required everyone who came to my law firm, to stand, for the national anthem, I'm Canadian. I'm not an American citizen. I respect, America and the national anthem. But, you know, I can't tell anyone, you know, religion. I can't tell people how to practice their religion or to say a national anthem or a pledge of allegiance. Why can they prevail it upon? Why can't they stop from prevailing it upon the players in the NFL?
So this is not a, strictly speaking, a First Amendment issue for the reason you just identified. There's no government involvement, and the First Amendment prohibits the government, either the federal government or state and local governments, from abridging the freedom of speech. Private companies can abridge the freedom of speech all they want in terms of the First Amendment. Now, whether we think that the NFL is a different kind of company that ought to act differently, whether it becomes a subject of collective bargaining, those are separate issues, but the First Amendment doesn't speak to it. And in fact, if the government were involved, this would actually be pretty easy, because this year happens to be the 75th anniversary of a decision called West Virginia Board of Education versus Barnett, in which the Supreme Court said that in the middle of World War II, that the government cannot make people, in that case it was, recite the Pledge of Allegiance. If school children reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, that government cannot require people to do that. And if so there were government involvement here, this would become a pretty easy situation.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with that. We need to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Before we do, just a real quick question on that is, and what I want to talk about after break is what the future is, what's going to happen in the season. But do we have any problem with when what you're talking about, the Pledge of Allegiance, differentiating the two, the National Anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance, Howard?
I don't see why we would. I mean, they both get at the same basic idea, which is expressing a connection to a symbol of America, an American government, and American society. I don't think it should make a difference what words you are uttering.
All right.
Really?
We'll pick up. We got to take a break. We're at the news, I believe. But you know, the thing about it is, after the break, we got to solve this problem because everyone's talking about it. Joselio and Howard are going to solve the problem after the break.
This on
You're
Gervais
listening
Law.
To Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. A shelter for people displaced by massive wildfires in Northern California has reached full capacity as authorities order more evacuations. Correspondent Dan Simon describes the scene from Keswick, California.
The destruction is just incredible. We were just driving along the main highway and just came across this subdivision, Keswick Estates, and there's really nothing left. And there are several neighborhoods that have been devastated.
The fire is only 5% contained. Republican Congressman from Iowa and House Agriculture Subcommittee member David Young slammed President Trump's tariffs on China and U.S. allies, arguing that the $12 billion bailout for farmers is a warning that those actions are hurting the U.S. agriculture industry, saying, "I'm not for bailouts, I'm not happy about that, and a lot of farmers aren't as well." KABC SoCal weather, mostly sunny with highs from the mid-70s to around 80 at the beaches to the mid-80s to around 90 inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I should have done this years ago.
Disclaimer, traveling back in time is physically impossible unless you know how to build a functioning time machine. Then by all means, travel 25 years back in time, switch your car insurance to GEICO. You could save a bunch of money. While you're there, please prevent your younger self from wearing that sleeveless tuxedo t-shirt, parachute pants, and glitter high tops to your senior prom. And at long last, rectify this horrible crime against nature. GEICO is absolved of all liability if you destroy the fabric of time and space.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What were you doing 7 years ago? If you were following the law, you installed a carbon monoxide alarm, because that's when a new regulation went into effect requiring California residents to have them in their homes. Soon, your CO alarm will go into mandatory beep, letting you know it's time to replace it. But don't wait. Beat the beep by installing new alarms today. Kidde carbon monoxide alarms help protect your family from a hazard you can't see or smell. Shop a variety of reliable and easy-to-install Kidde CO alms at your local Home Depot today.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in the greater Los Angeles area? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the greater Los Angeles area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. The greater Los Angeles area is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your 5-digit zip code to 82,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, can I sing this one?
Do it.
It's on my shirt.
Yeah, do it.
It's coming, but we might not have enough time. Layla, brilliant choice of music. This is American Idiot. Don't want to be an American Idiot. Green Day. Yeah. We are talking about the controversy in the NFL, kneeling for the national anthem. And this past week, Jerry Jones came out and said that the Dallas Cowboys could not kneel. And if they did, there would be consequences, perhaps a suspension. President Trump applauded Jerry Jones on that. And we are speaking to Howard Wasserman, who's professor of law at FIU Law School, which is in Florida, Florida International. And he blogs and he talks about the freedom of speech, constitutional law. We're also speaking with former NFL player Joselio Hansen. Now, Joselio, if you were on the Cowboys and Jerry Jones came out, the owner comes out and says that he, for the Cowboys anyway, was not going to allow the players to kneel or stay in the dressing room. They were going to come out and stand. What would you think of that, or what are the Cowboys, for instance, thinking? Do you think some of them are relieved because it may take the pressure off, or some of them are pissed off?
Man, well, first of all, I grew up hating the Cowboys, so I'm glad I've never played for the Cowboys. Second of all,
being a Viking fan, I joined the club. I hated the Cowboys, too. Go ahead.
Second of all, I don't know, it's kind of bullyish, but, I mean, I guess if you're on the Cowboys, that's your only chance to make money right now, so I would have to stand, come out and stand. But I mean,
would it bother you?
Yeah, it would bother me a lot. If somebody was telling me, like I said, I feel like it should be over by now anyway. Like mm-hmm. You know, everybody needs to just come stand. Like, we made our point. It's just the whole thing of being, I guess, you know, your freedom, your rights. Like, you feel like your rights are getting taken from you, or I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
well, you know, and that's interesting because it really distracts from the real issue. And that's what I was talking about when I talked to before to Professor Wasserman, saying that, you know, is it a free speech thing where people are just getting upset by their rights being taken away versus the actual social racial injustice that they were talking about. Professor Wasserman, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, the Cowboys do this. Are the other teams going to follow suit? What's the NFL going to do?
I doubt the other teams are going to follow suit because Jerry Jones is already getting some negative press on it, and he tends to be out on an island anyway.
Right.
The only thing that I think they're going to be able to do to get this thing to go away is to go back to where things were before 2009 and just have the players stay in the locker room. I mean, some people have said stop playing the national anthem before baseball games, and I think there's an interesting discussion about that to be had. But, I think there is a long history of the players not being on the field, and so just go back to that. That is the easiest way to make everyone happy except for those people, probably like the president, who want to try to engage in demagoguery over the issue.
Actually, Howard, I agree with you. I think everybody should say it's not, you know, they don't have a reason to kneel or not, and there's no political stance being taken, and the song is being played. I say, if anybody has an objection to the God Bless America before any baseball game, before any TV show, before anything, get out of the country. Get out of the country. You know, that's exactly. You don't want the national anthem played. Mm-mm. Sorry, there's other anthems, and there are countries don't have anthems.
Mark Garagos.
So does that mean we? But if you follow, I mean, if you take that idea seriously, then I should never be able to protest government policy.
That's
I
not true. How amazing it is that you can protest government policy, because we live in the United States of America. God bless America that you can stand for what you believe in, even though I may not like
it. What about not standing?
You can be a white racist in this country, but you're going to have consequences.
If you can stand for what you believe in, you should be able to kneel for what you believe in as well.
Not if you are working for somebody and you are being paid. Go on the street and do your own protest. You know, when I'm here on the air, I'm not making my own political.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm
you
not.
You are.
No, if I was, we'd be doing my political show that I did in Las Vegas, Nevada. We don't do that show here. So I'm just saying, if I were to protest something, I'm going to go protest on my own time. I'm going
to
do that.
But you have to think of the First Amendment. Mark Garagos, for instance, who's on this show, who's been on this show, representing Eric Reed, one of the players with Colin Kaepernick that kneeled. When he had an audition, an interview with the Bengals, they have a pre-employment question. Would you kneel? I mean, should that be a proper question? If Joselio was going to, as a free agent, a team, and Mark Garagos is saying, you know, you can't be dealing with these kind of issues in an interview to be a football player.
Yeah, it's no way to fix it, man. We're gonna have to go back to like you said. We're gonna have to go back to 2009.
Yeah, Howard has the right idea. Stay in the locker room.
Yeah.
play the anthem for all of us, huh?
And trust me. That's what we want as players.
Good.
We want to run out to the field. And go right to the kickoff.
That's
where we're going to leave it. Joselio, you know, I know you want to run out and play football, but, you know, you're not playing anymore. I know you're playing a lot of golf. We got a golf tournament coming up. You got to come on my foursome in October.
All right, let me know.
Yeah, it's the Lawyers. It's the Lawyers for Charity. It's Trial Lawyers Charities of Los Angeles. And I want to put a plug in for TLC. We have a golf tournament. It's trial lawyers who put a lot of time and effort into helping people in the community in L.A., and Joselio will be there in my foursome. Thanks for being on the show. And you know, we're enjoying the house. I hope everything's going well with Imani and you and the kids.
Wait, thank you very much.
All right, thank
you very much. Thanks, Joselio.
And Professor Wasserman, thanks for being with us. We appreciate all your insight and your legal issues that you bring forth. I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to this, but it's nice to talk about it, and hopefully we'll have a great NFL season.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And next
thank
time,
you.
Howard, next time we're going to talk about the infield fly rule, because I need to find out about that, and he's an expert.
I look forward to it.
All right. Take care. All right. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. And this is Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Audible has one of the hottest deals of summer for Amazon Prime members, and there's still time to catch it. Join Audible for just $4.95 a month for your first 3 months. You'll get one credit a month good for any audiobook, like J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Stephen King's The Outsider. Exchange any you don't like. Explore the world's largest selection of audiobooks and save over 65%. There are only 4 days left on this incredible Amazon Prime member offer. Get it now at audible.com/prime.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
One word, one text could land you $1,000.
Are you serious?
No.
That's awesome.
It's 4K a day. Listen at 6, 9, noon, and 3. Hear the keyword and text it to 95819 for your shot at $1,000. And while $1,000 is a lot of money, it's not as valuable as your life. So please don't text and drive, but do text and win.
I'm Wendy. Keep listening to win $1,000 just like me.
It's 4K a day on your big money station, 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right. I thought you were going to play Kenny Rogers,
this
The
is
Gambler.
A great
what happened,
song.
Leila? It is a great song, but The Gambler would have been much better. You know when to hold them,
know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run.
You gotta
count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting
when the dealing's done. And yes, we are now talking from the NFL. We are talking poker, a real sport. Forget about those wusses in the NFL. We're going to talk. Look at this face. Kelly Minkin.
Yeah.
You got to look. I love this. I'm just looking at her, and she's got the round, dark glasses on, the baseball hat. She's the chillest. She's the illest. She's Machine Gun Kelly. She's one of the greatest poker players, women poker players, in the WSOP, and she's a lawyer. How proud am I to be talking to a lawyer who can really play the game, and that's poker. Kelly Minkin, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hello, how are you?
We are doing great.
We're fantastic. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm awesome. I have no complaints, that's for sure.
I am so afraid of you. I mean, if I was negotiating with you, and I know you do Med-Mal, don't you? Medical malpractice in your law practice?
Yeah.
I know, because you have a really great background in medicine and biology, and this is a really, really smart lawyer. But I would be so afraid of you in negotiations because of what you do at the table.
You know, that's so funny, and that's not the first or the last time I will ever hear that. So I don't blame you.
Okay, where did you learn poker?
You know, actually, when I grew up playing with my family, right? Like little home games with the neighbors. So I learned just growing up as a card game. And as I was in law school, I started going to the casino on my free time. So that helped me pay my law school bills. And, you know, it just went up from there.
You know, my grandma taught me how to play. So we were all playing poker when we were little kids. She had this little visor, and she had the little cards coming out of it, and a cigarette, and her drink. And we sat around with my grandma playing poker. And that's how I learned. Now, I am nowhere near where you are, but I'll tell you, I've won some tournaments at Commerce, I have to tell you.
She doesn't know what Commerce is.
Commerce Casino?
Yeah, but she's on the big time.
No, she
Come
knows
on.
Commerce. If
no,
she knows
Kelly,
Hollywood,
please
Commerce,
tell me
please,
you don't
Bicycle
know
Club.
No, you don't know what that
of course
is,
she
do you,
does.
Kelly? You're above that.
100%. The first casino I ever went to was the Bicycle.
Nice, yes. That's where you learn. That's where you play. Anyway, so I had a blast. I moved to Nevada for, it was on the talk radio. That's
With
what
Alan
I was talking
Stock.
About. Alan Stock, another Alan. We did a political talk morning show, but I would sign up for the tournaments and everything out there, and I got better. And one time, I have to say, my claim to fame, I was at a table. This was charity. With Doyle Brunson. Annie Duke was there. I mean, the Sheik, all these people. So, many years ago. And I knocked
Before
them all
her
out.
Time. You
but,
did?
Yeah.
You know, she brings up an interesting point. She's got a passion. Kara's got a passion. Kelly, how did you become so good at this? Because
yes.
There's a lot of people who have a passion for it, but they don't make like over $1 million. Aren't your earnings over $1 million now?
They're like three.
No, they aren't.
Yes.
Can we see your tax return?
So, yeah, my tournament earnings just passed the $1 million mark this summer.
Wow.
So I was really I was really fortunate to meet that goal so early in my poker career. And, you know, that's outside of cash wins aren't, you know, kept online and reported online. So but I've really been focused on tournament play for the last, I would say, 3 years.
So tell us, though, because, you know, we got a little sidetracked with all that money, but why are you making all this money at the poker tables when Carrie, who, you know, really wanted, she loves poker, but she still, you know, she's great. She's looking at me like she's pissed off.
No, I don't make that kind of money. No, I don't. Come on, never.
Yeah,
not
so
even close.
What's the difference? Why are you, last woman standing at these tournaments?
You know, I think poker is a combination of luck and skill. And I find that given my attributes I had prior to playing poker from my education and just my personality, that playing poker was something that naturally I was good at. And so once I figured that out, I worked to get every tool that I possibly could to use to better my game. And so doing so and also having a knack for just being good at, you know, reading people and being aggressive, that it worked out for me.
And you look, you know, for people that don't know what you look like, you look, you're really pretty, but you look very young. So it must, like, kill people. Like, that is another, it seems like, weapon that you have. You look like a kid.
Well, she is young.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, she looks younger than her age. Absolutely.
And it's so funny. I actually get that a lot. A lot of people are really taken aback, and I get carded all the time. Yeah. Even, you know, when I go to the courtroom, I just get weird looks because I do know that I have a young-looking face, and my voice actually also sounds young. So it throws people off, absolutely. But that's fun for me because I can use that to my advantage, and the way that I play, I think, is the complete opposite of how I look. So I like that dynamic of, you know, when I'm playing poker with people, them, you know, being caught off guard or being surprised or thinking it's funny or thinking it's awesome. You know, I get a lot of different reactions from people, and they're all great.
Is it different in law? Forget about your poker career for a second. Do you find, as a woman, a young-looking woman, that people try to take advantage of you in your legal practice and people try to kind of undermine the respect and, you know, the competency that you have as a lawyer?
Absolutely. I think that's really in any profession. I think if you look young, that is a huge detriment to your credibility. And I think as a woman, and, you know, I think more so now it's a lot more balanced than it used to be, but, you know, being a lawyer used to be a male-dominated field. So for the guys that, you know, have put in 30, 40 years, in, you know, of work under their belt, and then they see a young girl come, you know, and then go toe-to-toe with them, it's an uncomfortable feeling. I understand that because it's an even playing field now. And if they don't beat me, then what does that say about them?
Exactly.
You know, it's the same as poker.
Such a sad mentality, though.
Well,
I mean,
it's
yes,
true.
It's changing. It's changing. And thank God for that. But yeah, it's like, it's an ego thing. And it's like, instead of saying, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You know,
and it's funny because I think some men can handle getting beaten by another man, especially if he's older than
sure.
he is. But a young woman beating a man, whether it's in poker or in the court or law, that can really...
But I don't think you'd care, Alan. I think you have respect for people. And I think if you got beaten by somebody who was a young woman, you wouldn't...
You know what I do?
Huh.
I try and hire them.
There you go, because you're smart.
That's what I do. I love being beaten by women.
Oh, man.
No, it's true.
This could take a dark turn. Really.
Yes, it could, Kelly.
Well, let's get back to your locker.
It often does.
Tell us about the law firm you work for and how they put up with your schedule or how they support you, if they do, in your poker career.
So I actually took a short sabbatical from the firm. I started that in the beginning of this year. I had a decent score in December for a little over, I think, 90,000. And I just decided, you know what, I'm young. I have my life, like, exactly where I want it. Let's just take, you know, some time to just enjoy it and not be, you know, I never took a break from school. I went from school to taking the bar, from the bar to, you know, working at the firm I, you know, am at now. So, you know, it was nice to be able to do that. And the firm that I work for is a boutique firm. It's like my family. So, you know, they understand and they want me to thrive in every, you know, aspect of my, you know, professional career. And that includes playing poker, and they support me 100%. So, I know a lot of poker player attorneys or, you know, ex-attorneys that wish they had the opportunity that I have. You know, it's almost unprecedented. I've never heard of anyone being able to do what I do. So I'm more than grateful, but, you know, they're very understanding.
So you're up to $1 million in winnings, at least the stuff that you're allowed to tell us, because I know that you've won other things that, you know, we'll just put it that way.
Right.
So what have you bought that was like, I, you know, my whole life I've wanted this? Or maybe it may not even be like something, maybe it could be like your kid's college tuition is now paid for. You're done. Whatever it may be.
Your kid's college tuition?
Yeah. Doesn't she
is a kid.
I know, but doesn't, I'm just saying if she has a kid or whatever, she's putting
it away.
You don't
have any kids.
Look.
Wait a second. Kelly, set Carrie straight.
Okay, so I actually get asked this quite often too, and the truth of the matter is I really took the money that I have won and made it work for me to make more money.
Nice.
So I started my own company.
Yes.
I put a lot of money away for retirement. I, you know,
it's all in crypto.
I put a bunch of money down on my mortgage. I've traveled. I've been able to, you know, go out to dinner with my friends and just pay for the bill. And those are the things that are important to me.
That's
awesome.
That's a great answer. I mean, the better answer would have probably been that you donated it to the homeless. But
now,
next to that, was a good answer.
She's making money with money. That's the smart thing to do.
And that's what we're going to talk about next week, actually, when we have Steve Zorn and Dosh Oder on, who are from Oder Management, Investment Management. So it's interesting. Kelly talks about that. And then we're going to talk right here on Gervie's Law about investments and how to make money from the money you have and how to diversify. I think that's really what the goal is.
It's
and it sounds intense. Like there's a lot of diversification in your portfolio, Kelly.
I think absolutely. And I think that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to generate money to do those things. And so I feel like I'm obligated to take every opportunity I can. You know, if I can retire at 50 years old, I've done my job, you know.
Yes.
So I'm working on doing that and being able to go to work at a firm or to play poker and just have a smile on my face and not be stressed and not be worried about money, you know. And that's I'm happy.
But you've avoided Carrie's question about, you know, she kind of said about the kids and all stuff. Like, I'm surprised she hasn't asked you, because she usually asks, like, you're really a hot commodity. You know, I would think that people would really be interested in someone who is, you know, a poker player, a lawyer. I mean, how do you control your social life? Is it just like really crazy?
That's an Alan question. That's not mine. He pawned it off on me, but I'll ask it.
Yeah, he did pawn it off on
you. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
I saw that.
Thank you very much.
But you know, the thing is, the social aspect has really been overwhelming for me. I'm a very, like, introverted person. I spend most of my time with my family. I have a few close friends and my boyfriend. And so getting all of the overwhelming response I've gotten from, you know, making a deep run in the main event this year on top of my prior deep runs in other tournaments, it's been exciting and exhilarating, but also like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. You know, like, I don't consider myself a celebrity, but I'm treated like a celebrity often, like in poker arenas when, you know, people ask to take a picture of me and they get so excited to see me, or I go to a deposition and the, you know, opposing attorney knows who I am.
Did you see that tweet, Kelly, of that little girl? She's like 10 years old and she looks just like you. She's sitting at the table. Someone tweeted that. Did you see that?
Yeah, like that. Those are the things that make everything worthwhile for me. Like seeing young fans or hearing from adults that their children look up to me, or hearing that someone from Australia is rooting for me is like the craziest thing ever, and it's awesome.
And where did you get the illest? Did you name yourself that, or somebody called?
That's her Twitter. That's Twitter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but what's the illest? I want to know, who did somebody give that to you, or did you just kind of give that yourself?
So when I was in college, I had a group of friends and we all had like nicknames for each other, and they called me the illest. So it was actually my nickname before I even got into poker.
That's
and
awesome.
I had my Twitter account set up as that, and then people in poker just started calling me illest as well.
And you've got a lot of followers. It's the illest. It's a _ illest. You got to check Kelly out. We got to run, but when's the next tournament? When can we look for you?
I will be playing at the main event at Seminole Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale the third weekend of August, and I will also be playing at Poker Night in America, the ladies' event, that I'm not sure when it airs, but it's filming that same weekend.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And Kelly Minkin, we want to thank you for coming on Gervie's Law. It's really exciting. And I know Carrie's had a smile on her face the whole time we've been talking because it's like her dream. You're living her dream.
Yeah, being an attorney and a poker player, that would be amazing right now. Amazing for me. Yeah, thank you so much, Kelly, thanks, for being on.
Of course, anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Carrie, I know, you know, when you got so passionate, and I love seeing your passion with the NFL, the kneeling. I know the NFL season starting. You're not passionate about the football season starting. I am. Mm-hmm. Go Vikings. But I know you're passionate about standing for the national anthem.
I am.
And I take my hat off to you. I put it over my heart because of the thoughts and the feelings that
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that.
You know, I don't necessarily disagree with you, and I just think you're more passionate about it than I am.
But you're also from Canada.
Yeah, so I stand for O Canada. So next week we do have, as I mentioned, we're going to have Josh Oder and Steve Zorn. And then the following week we have Michael Wilds. You guys, you're not going to want to miss Michael Wilds. He's incredible. He's the attorney for Ivanka Trump in her immigration issues, yet he's a very strong, strong Democrat. Trump attorney and strong Democrat.
Crazy.
I love the fact we're having Kenny Rogers taking us out.
There we go.
There we go. See, Layla came through for us.
She going to sing this?
I don't know if she will. Y'all have, you see, I say y'all. Y'all have a great week. And we're going to be looking for Carrie in her 48 hours expose.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan,
woohoo,
thanks for being here. It's great having you. We're looking forward to having you at the end of August. The producer at 48 hours. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. So if you don't